But, you know, we see here just kind of where the impact of family. And yet what I did was come here with some things that must start from the very beginning. Okay, so look with me at Genesis 1 and the handout that you have there. And Genesis 1, everything looks great, okay? Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And then verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so we see the beginning of what comes to the family. He says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fulfill and fill the earth and subdue it." I'm not going to read the rest of that, but it's just everything that was laid out in Genesis chapter 1, okay? And, you know, again, I'm not trying to make any societal, cultural things that we're dealing with in here, you know, today. I am just strictly sticking to what the scripture is saying and saying, okay, he created them male and female, and that is the beginning of the family unit, okay? And the idea here is that it's like, wow, it's all good. You know, he's given them dominion over everything, and yet we have this big box down below with a huge question mark in it. And we know that if we turned in our scriptures over a couple of chapters, we would get to Genesis chapter 3. And the reality for us is that I didn't record it for us, but in that big box that's there is the idea of, man, it blew up. Not just the family unit, but God, man's relationship with God, everything that y'all been studying in here, man's relationship with even, you know, creation, man's relationship with himself, man's relationship in this context with his wife, the wife with the husband. When they partook of the fruit of the tree, everything changed. When they disobeyed God, everything changed. And now we see here the reality of that in relationships. But before we get there, I want to offer up some huge encouragement for us, okay? But I am saying to you all, if you know, you can hear this, what is recorded in Genesis chapter 3 impacts every aspect of your life. And today I come to say, it impacts your family unit, okay? And so we see, as if we take that situation that occurred in Genesis chapter 3, we then see something as in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. We know that God came into the garden and he says, "Adam, where are you?" And he knew exactly where he was, but now man is hiding. Okay, man's trying to cover up his sin. Man is filled with deep sense of shame. And so, the verse that I read to you here says, "The man called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living." Look here. "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." Okay, so here's what I want y'all to think about for just a moment, because I really want you all to hear where we're going now impacts us in here very significantly today. In this particular passage, people have come to really say, okay, look at what had to happen in order for them to have garments of skin. And so there was an animal sacrifice. It's not mentioned here, but the reality is that an animal was killed, the skin was taken, a garment was made, and it clothed them. And what we can say, people will say, is this is the first blood sacrifice that was given in order to cover the sin of man. Okay. Now, obviously, it's almost metaphorically, if you understand that, okay? But the reality here is that what God turned into a holy God, and this is Pat Hoban speaking right now, God turned into a seamstress. He took the skin, made a garment that would clothe them. Now, all that is a foreshadowing for the next box that I have there. And the next box says, wow, that left us with, in the Old Testament, we see where the blood sacrifice was made at the altar. People would bring their lambs, their to make sacrifice for the covering of their sin. And the covering of that sin then had them, everything was right between them and a holy God. But all that was looking forward to the great sacrifice that would ultimately be made. Okay. Now, I know right now, I'm just teaching some very basic truths to what we as followers of Jesus Christ believe. That we look at our own sin, we see the need for a covering of that sin, and we see that it started out with an animal that was made for garments. Then we see that it was animals that were brought to the altar, and the priest would take that and would, use that blood sacrifice as a covering for sin. But then the beautiful thing here, and again, this is where the big box comes in, is the impact of that once and for all blood sacrifice that was made through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that his sacrifice was made on behalf of us, each and every one of us, to cover our sins once and for all so that our hearts and relationship with God could be made whole. Now, here's where I've got to get down on a whole different level with you today. And that is, but the reality for us is that we live continually in a broken world. Okay, what do I mean by broken? It means that we are continually dependent upon that work of Christ in every single breath that we take today. And then I say, and that impacts every single relationship that we have. And then here's probably maybe the hardest thing. It impacts families in some very dramatic ways. And that's why relationships with families is so important that we're covering here today. Because ideally, every family is just wonderful, cheery, and everything. But there are things in there that are very difficult within the life of a family unit. Now, again, I don't mean to embarrass you, Hayden, but I want you all to realize when this dear brother gets up to sing like he did last week, how long ago was it your mother passed away? Yeah. And to think about the impact of his family just on illness and death. But we also realize that there are places where I have sat with people where their father did unconscionable things to them. I've also sat with parents who grieve over things that happened in their family units. And to see the impact of the world that we live in today and the grief, but to also know that incredibly through that sacrifice that we see here, we also know that we get to worship and serve a God, and please hear this word, who redeems. And he uses things to draw us into a deeper, more intimate walk with him. And some of you in here today, are either maybe in the early stages of something really painful, difficult that's happened. Some of you in here today are for the first time, you're looking at things that happened to you in the past, and you're in that early stages of trying to figure out, how am I going to deal with this? Some of you are farther along in that. August 26th, 2005, is when my marriage blew up. I have the unique opportunity, if we use that phrase, to say I can look back now over 20 years and I can tell you some incredible ways that God has redeemed that. I can also tell you that I pray like heck that over the next 20 years, if I have that many left, that I will see even more things redeemed that are still not where I would want to see it be. But I stand here today telling you, and I've used this example in here before, but I was guilty of having my identity tied to my good Christian boy resume. And then all of a sudden on my resume, I'd have had a big fat D. And that's when I came to realize how deeply my identity was tied to who I am in the Lord Jesus Christ, not with what you. And that's why when I was here on June 15th, I talked to you about how we can make other people in our lives G-O-D. I was so guilty of that. But so thankful that now I stand here before you and continually realize the depths of my identity is drawn through who I am in Christ. That's part of what was redeemed through the brokenness. Now, do I wish that it had happened some other way? Absolutely. But if we don't accept the brokenness of this world, we will live in continued frustration, despair, and perhaps even some degree of bitterness and resentment of why, why, why. And so my heart attitude with you all this morning is to say, can we please accept the brokenness of this world, but also in that, can we accept that once and for all, incredible blood sacrifice that was made on our behalf through the Lord Jesus Christ? And then, is it possible that I can take that into every relationship that I have? For right now, I want to focus on family. And what does it look like for you to be the one who might be the agent of some degree of redemption within your family? I'm not saying take any risks. I'm not saying be stupid, unwise, or foolish. But I am saying, what might it look like for you to be the agent of redemption within your family? And so it's so easy for me to jump ahead to Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll look with me there. And my handout should say Paul's and Pat's plea, and that's not Paul Goebel. That's the Apostle Paul as he wrote the book of Ephesians. And it's so dangerous for us when we take one verse and try to make a point out of it, or two verses here. But I want you to know in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, he lays out everything for us about our identity and what Christ has done for us and did for us. And then he goes to chapter 4 to say, now walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And so part of that, he comes down to the end of chapter 4. And what I would like to encourage you all with this morning is when chapter 4, verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. It would be to this idea, Lord, how easy is it for me to take bitterness and resentment into relationships, especially with my family unit. Why? Because I have some deep wounds that are there. Because I'm still angry for the fact that my father was disengaged. My mother was preoccupied. I could list off 100 things that are not things that we would go, wow, like some form of actual abuse, but some wound that's there. It's like, why was I not enough? Why did I not matter? Where were they? Or as I said, a sibling who continually ridiculed you. Not abuse, ridicule. Those things impact us in some very deep ways. And so we come and says, let's put those things aside. How? By remembering that incredible sacrifice that was made on our behalf and living out of that and calling on the Lord to say, please, Father, I know if I carry bitterness and resentment with me, I'm the one who suffers. And so it's not just put it down, you know, forget about it. It's no, let's step into it and figure out what's going on there. But let's realize the danger of bitterness and resentment when we carry it into relationships. And so then he goes on, though, be kind to one another, okay? It's like, well, all right, what does that look like? Well, can I get you a glass of water? You know, it's like, well, I think there's some other ways to be kind. But the word, as you can see there with my question, would be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And as I have focused this summer on Ephesians chapter 4, I have continually come back to this word, tenderhearted, and going, what does that really mean? And it means that I have an increased sensitivity, a tenderness within me that says it's not all about me, but it's about others. And it's how can I take that tender heart, knowing that I could get hurt, but knowing that there's others that can comfort me and knowing that he is the God of all comfort and I can run to him. And I would just tell you all in this room, if we just started in this room and said, guys, what would it look like for us to be tenderhearted with each other in here today? Or as we go out into the grand hall. But I'm wondering too, what would it look like to be tenderhearted within your family unit? Is there somebody within your family unit that you're like, that ain't happening? And I may go, I understand. That would be rough. But what my heart attitude is here is to be able to ask you all at your tables today to take some time and go, what does it look like for you to be tenderhearted today? What are the challenges of that? What prevents it? What are times that you've actually seen it? What are times you've received it from somebody else? And just asking how it is that we could take a tender heart into family relationships and every other relationship. And then guess what happens? We're the one that's blessed. We're the ones. We don't do it to be blessed. But there's an element of allowing that tenderhearted where we find ourselves in a deeper, more intimate relationship with God the Father. And so all I did here was PCPC and Pat's plea is what we see in the church bulletin every week. And to be able to reflect on that and realize, hey, if you're in this category of what our plea is as a church, and as Reynolds already said, if there's difficulties, talk to Reynolds or Cam or John Paul. Do not hesitate to send an email to care@pcpc.org. or reach out to me directly. We've got a ton of resources that we can connect you with. And thanks be to God, we have what's called the Counseling Scholarship Fund, and we can provide free counseling for anybody that needs it. Now, Emily will be the first one to tell you that the very last thing is one of my corny things. And in the word today, we have the family. And in that word is the ILY. And I love making acronyms. And I tried to come up with one that was helpful with all six letters, but I just couldn't do it. Maybe you all can come up with something. But I really wanted us to say, in the context of family, that we can be able to say, hear a voice that says, I love you. And then what I would tell you all is, if that is not realistic, then I want you to hear, that's why John Paul's here. That's why Cam's here. That's why Reynolds is here. And then what I would tell you all today is, that is a very sincere message that I have for each of you as well. Now you may go, well, that's easy for you to say, Pat. And I go, on one level, it could be very insincere. On another level, I want you all to hear it with as much sincerity as I can possibly communicate it to you. I do love you. I do thank God for you. I'm so thankful you're here today. And as you'll have your table discussion, I hope that it will be able to grasp hold of this concept that we're talking about, of what would it look like for me to bring tenderheartedness into my relationships? What is it that causes me to move more quickly to a hard-heartedness instead of a tender heart? So, Lord, as we just commit this time to talk about it, I pray you would continue to give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and anything else that we need. I just commit this time now as we discuss around the tables to you, and I pray a blessing upon each of my brothers and sisters in this room, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, I don't know how much time we have for table discussion. What are we looking at? 20 minutes? Okay, all right. If that's too much, then talk about something else. But hopefully it will create a lively discussion for you. Thank you all for letting me be here.